And so, a dead white man grows bearded and lost in the blinding heart of Africa. With his rooting and roving, his stops and starts, he becomes our father unwitting, our inadvertent Peter Muzungu. This is the story of a nation, not a kingdom or a people. So it begins, of course, with a white man. Once upon a time, a goodly Scottish doctor caught a notion to find the source of the Nile. He found instead a gash in the ground full of massed, tumbling water. His bearers called it Mosi or Tunya, which means the smoke that thunders, but he gave it the name of his queen. He described the falls with a stately awe, comparing the flung water to British things, to fleece and snow, and the sparks from burning steel, to myriads of small comets rushing on in one direction, each of which left behind its nucleus rays of foam. He speculated that angels had gazed down upon it and said to each other, "How lovely." He even opined, like a set designer, that there really ought to be mountains in the backdrop. Adventure, disaster, fame, commerce, Christianity, civilization. He was mauled by a lion that shook him in its jaws, he said, as a dog shakes a rat. His wife died of fever. His beloved poodle drowned. He voyaged over land and along endless waterways. He freed slaves as he went, broke their chains with his hands, and took them on as his servants and bearers. Late in his life, he witnessed a massacre. Slave traders shooting at people in a lake. So many, the canoes could not pass. He despaired. He was broken, broke. Queen Victoria had forgotten him. The royal geographers said he was dead. Then a mercenary Welsh bastard named Stanley, presumed, shook his hand and sent word to London. And in an instant, he was infamous, as if risen from the grave, yet he refused to return to Mary England. Doddering, he drove deeper into the continent instead, still seeking his beloved Nile. Oh, Father Muzungu. The word means white man, but it describes not the skin, but a tendency. A Muzungu is one who will zunguluka, wander aimlessly until they end up in circles. And so our Muvius Muzungu pitched up here again, dragging his black bearers with him. His medicine box went missing. Who took it? They never found out, and with it, his precious quinine. Fever hunted him, and finally caught him. He died in a hut in the night, on his bed, kneeling, his head in his hands. His men disemboweled him, planted his heart under a tree, and bore his corpse to the coast. The HMS Vulture took his body home. What was left without the living was buried under stone in the nave of Westminster Abbey. His people recognized him by the scrapes of the lion's teeth on his humerus bone. Such wonder at the resolve of his bearers. To travel with a corpse for months on end, suffering loss and injury, sickness and battle? Through blistering heat and blundering rain, beating off the taboo that to carry death is to beckon it? To come all the way to England, to face interrogation, to build a model of the hut that he died in? What faith! What love! No, no. What fear. That corpse, that body was proof. Without it, who would possibly have taken their word that a white man among savages had died of bad luck?